Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of This Is My Story, This Is My Song. My name is Steph McLeod, and in this podcast I'll be interviewing amazing people about life, ministry, songs and music, and what it means to serve the church, especially during a season of lockdown and isolation. Today I'm joined by my good friend and Integrity Music A&R man, Steve Harding. Not only is Steve a wonderful human being, he's also a gifted audio engineer, producer, musician, and songwriter. So join us today as we discuss authenticity in songwriting and the benefits of writing as a community. Why even are songs important? Is there any value in homegrown worship songs? And what are the challenges we face when cultivating that environment? I know you're going to love this, so sit back, relax, and I'll catch you at the end. Hi, Steve. How are you doing? It's lovely to have you on the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on. Okay, Steve. Is it Steve or Stephen?
Let's go Steve.
All right. Amazing. My Sunday name is Stephen as well. So but when I lived in England, I was known as Scottish Steve, which is really
didn't know that.
No, not a lot of people do. It's very boring, but that's all right. But
it's generally just our mums that call us Stephen.
Yes, absolutely. And it's lovely to have you on, man. For everybody that's out there watching the podcast or listening, do you want to tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name's Steve. I live in Chichester with my wife, Carla. We've got two kids. For the last 3 years, I've been working as an A&R person for Integrity Music. A&R really meaning, I guess you'd describe it as the interface between the artist and the company. So really you're trying to champion what writers and artists are doing and trying to come alongside and help them be the very best version of what they're trying to do.
That's very cool, man. It's very cool. Because I've been working with you guys for a couple of years now, and I absolutely love Integrity. And I love you, as you know. I think you're amazing. One of the nicest human beings I've ever met. And, and for people that don't know about Integrity Music, could you maybe tell us who Integrity are? And also, what's Integrity's role in the world of music and in the world of worship music?
Sure. Well, Integrity's been going for quite a while now, and it's really the heart is to really serve the church and to an extent help feed the church, get the songs that people are writing to the church around the world. And it really is the communal song, the congregational song that is right at the center of what we're wanting to do. And that's been the mission of Integrity from the start, really, just to help get alongside writers and help them craft the songs, help them record the songs, and then get those songs out and out to whoever will listen to them. And indeed, more than that, participate in them. So the community song, I think, really finds its real its destiny when it is sung, when it's in the hearts and the mouths of churches around the world.
That's great, man. I met with our friend and brother Les Moyer a number of years ago, and he was lovely with your father-in-law, actually. Who's
really
Mr. Simon, and he took me to meet Les. I mean, it must have been nearly 10 years ago now, and Les was mastering something at Abbey Road, which was, you know, I walked in and I was like, oh, it's, you know, just amazing. And got a little tour and we had lunch, and you know, he was explaining to me about ministry and what Integrity does and in terms of, you know, taking songs and making them available around the world and translating them and publishing. And I think many people would see Integrity as a record label, But for myself, having, you know, working with you over the last couple of years, I very much see it as a family, you know, and as a ministry. And it's certainly been my experience with working with yourselves and coming together with all the other Integrity artists, you know, before lockdown and digitally in the last year, which has just been so uplifting. And, you know, so community is community a massive part of what Integrity does?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that is a growing aspect as well. So, yeah, I think, Steph, I love you. And there's we've got a group of artists and writers that I think it's so important, that community thing. And it's obviously it's modeled within the church. But having people that are on the same journey as you, I think, is so important, to have people that you can walk alongside. And it just, it cuts out the whole, that negative aspect of competition when you're all pulling together and you're cheering each other on. And, you know, writing has changed over the last 20 years, particularly, and people are writing in community as well. It's very rare to have a song, written by one person. And indeed, in terms of people at the moment, it's huge to have people serving and singing each other's songs. And I'd love to see even more of that, really, of communities of people. It just undercuts the sort of superstar thing a little bit. And it's a representation of the breadth of the body of Christ, as well as just it's not just about coming up with the best tune.
That's great, man. I mean, Les spoke about that as well, you know, like co-writing especially, you know, it really helps community to grow. And one of my favourite quotes, I've no idea who actually said it, but is, you know, the rising tide floats all the boats, you know. And certainly with my, I'd never done much co-writing before working with Integrity, and you know, you guys have put me in the room with some incredible writers, people I really respect, and it's helped me to grow as a person and as an individual, as a songwriter, but also challenged me deeply with things I've always struggled with, like insecurities, you know what I mean, and helped me to look at things like control issues, you know, because I think when I write by myself, you know, I'm like, there's not as much pressure. I think I do stuff, but like being respectful and learning and other people to flourish within co-writes, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move with and allowing other people to bring things in that they're led to bring in as well, has been a wonderful experience for me. I can't thank you enough for that. I wanted to ask you, I mean, why do you think songs are important? You know, whether it's worship songs or songs in general. Mm. Why do yeah. you think songs are important?
Good question. I think songs are important within the context of church for a number of reasons. I think sort of sociologically, you join with people that you sing with. So that sort of bind us together, Lord, that old hymn. It's one of the things that joins us. And whether it's on the football terraces or whether it's in a church, you start to become one with the people that you're singing with. I think it's quite a, it sort of connects a person up a little bit. So it's not just your head involved in the lyrics, but there's something of your body. You are singing, and we're very aware of the sort of the breath comes out of your body when you sing. Obviously very aware of that at COVID times, because we're not still currently at time recording, not allowed to sing in communal environments. And I think it involves your heart and your emotions as well. The melody, the chord, the lyric evokes something with your heart. And I guess that's what art does. We were just chatting just yesterday, weren't we, with Jim McNeish, talking about the way that we sometimes have a presentation of our I forget what he calls it, like the conscious manifestation. It's sort of like the thing that we want to be presented to the world, and that's there's some truth in that. But there's something underneath that. And what I love about art is it sneaks round the sort of frontal lobe. It sneaks around the ego and it starts to poke at what is brilliant about what we hide. And Jim was talking about Jim McNeish was talking about how Carl Jung says that there's gold in the shadow. And I think that I love art for singing to and calling out the gold from the shadow. It sneaks around our defenses and starts to sort of call out that goodness that is in the part of us that we hide. And the truth is that God sees everything, of course. And so I think I love art for that reason. It's sneaky.
Yeah. I love to create, you know. I think it's a wonderful way from a very personal level. It's a wonderful way for me to process, you know. When I was, I started writing songs living in a homeless hostel in 2006. Never done it before. I was a classical musician. So I was essentially, you know, playing covers for years of some of the oldest, coolest music, which I still absolutely love. But suddenly writing songs that were on my heart about my experience gave me an opportunity to process a lot of stuff that I'd never looked at before. You know, the experiences of being homeless and addiction and stuff like that. Because I mean, at the time, I wasn't writing anything about faith or anything like that. But singing as well. I said this to Nathan Jess the last time we were together. I don't know what it is, but when I sing, I feel absolutely free. I can't explain it. I don't know. There's just nothing there holding me back from feeling completely abandoned in my connection to God. And Keith Getty writes so beautifully in his book, you know, sing and creating that environment and why we sing, and wonderful book. And do you think that as songwriters and especially within the worship community, authenticity is important? And you know, do you think there's we should be wary of ticking boxes and cliches? You know, I'm going to lead on from this with another question, which would be, you know, do you think as songwriters writing for the church, should we be writing from a place where we write for the congregation, or should the songs come from a place of personal worship, or even both? What do you think? There's a lot in there, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there is, isn't there? I think the answer is yes. Okay, we can move on. No, the answer is yes to both. There's, I think it is absolutely important. There is, when a song has been baptized with experience, you can tell, you know, there is a ring of truth about it. And so absolutely, yes, it has to be an authentic thing. And at the same time, community songs, congregational songs are an act of empathy. They are saying, what might that person need to articulate? What joy might they be feeling that we can give voice to? What pain and what lament needs to be spoken that they may not have the words to? They may not have the way to express it. How do we do that? How do we give voice to the full range of human experience in front of God? So I do think it's both. It's a sort of conversation between those two. It's like, what have I experienced, and how can I tell my testimony that might ring with other people? And the empathy thing of like feeling for the other, for someone else, for my neighbor, the person that's sitting next to me, what might be a quiet desperation or an incredible hope that they want to express, and that is the gifting. That is why it's so difficult to write really good congregational songs, is because it's not just a pure imagining that you're someone else, and it's not purely just writing your experience. There's this tension set up, but it's often in the tension that great music is made.
I find it quite paradoxical. So it's the intention of writing for a community or a body or a group, I very often find that I'm writing a song for myself, even when I don't mean to, you know. And it works the other way as well. So if I'm writing a song out of personal experience, the number of times I've had people get in touch with me, or I've even got in touch with other songwriters and say, man, that song you wrote about your experience hit me so hard. I mean, I spoke to Nathan about this recently, about his song I Am Redeemed. You know, I mean, that song just utterly broke me. You know what I mean? Because it was such a vivid and powerful and emotive song about coming.
I think you're right, though, because it's the value of narrative and there being a story, a testimony that is being told. And I think it's that's a powerful thing. You know, scripture is presented in story, you know, the way that Jesus thought best to communicate was to in a series of parables and in story. And so I think it's really, you can definitely be intentional in terms of the way that these they're not just random thoughts, but here are some jigsaw pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that perhaps might paint a picture for people and indeed lead them on a journey, whether it's an album or it's whether you're playing in a church. It's not just here's my 3.5 minute pop hits. It's we're walking into something, into a journey here, and it can be many, many different choose your own adventure kind of journeys. It's not like there's a single journey, but for sure there's something going on, and we are human, and we our emotions are involved, and the way that we make sense of the world is through story. So I think that's super valuable. Yeah,
I mean, just coming on from that, there's a lot of music in the world today, you know. So like Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube, and I mean, there's just music everywhere. There's so much music, and sometimes speak to my friends about the challenges they face on, you know, with that kind of stuff. I'm curious, do you think that there are any songs missing from?
That's a really good one. Good question. There's like something like 100 million published songs. And so when you write a song, when you birth a song, you've got to want to say something with it. You've got to want, it's not just a sort of, oh, the world needs another song as a general song. There's got to be some heart behind it. There are many advantages to the globalization that's allowed this music to travel around the world. But the danger is, of course, homogenization and the sameness, and the same song type of songs are going around the world, and everybody's, it can be just a bit monoculture. And there's something about the multicolor of the Bride of Christ that I think is really valuable to express. We can't just reduce down to music from one or two sources. So I think, yes, there is massive value from from groups of people telling their story and writing songs from their experience. So this is what God is doing with us right now, and telling those stories. So for sure, I think it is super valuable. Some of the subjects, I mean, I guess if I want to be really kind of narrow on this, it can't just be the song about my God is the most powerful God amongst many gods. And there's got to be something a little broader than that. So I'm thinking back to in the UK, we had the Songs of Fellowship book. And if you flick to the back, there's all the subject headings, and it was all kinds of stuff, like a very broad palette. And I almost see the songs that we sing as diet. So what kind of things are we talking about and dwelling upon and chewing over? And we all know what happens if you only eat one type of food. It's just not very good. It's really good to get a breadth of diet, apparently.
Do you think there's value in homegrown songs, like whether that's nationally or culturally or even within a church community or movement? Do you think there's value in that, you know?
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. I guess just going back to what we were continuing on from what we were just talking about. Over lockdown, I had a lot of takeaway. Nutritionists do say that if you want to get healthy, you eat at home. You know what's in the cooking. I wouldn't say that it's definitely not a bad thing for takeaway every now and then, but I do see, like I say, the songs like Diet, and there's something really healthy about creating and singing songs that come from the community, that really genuinely songs from the soil, songs that articulate what God is doing in a particular place and time. And that's a challenge, because like you say, these, you know, when you've got a hymn that's stood the test of time for 200 years, for 300 years, or you've got songs from amazing communities around the world that have devoted themselves to songwriting, and some of the best writers and poets are at these places. And well, their song is a better song. I mean, let's not pretend, but I'm just looking back at my picture here. This green mess back here is a painting by my son when he was one or two. And they used to be a painting of Matisse there. But I've taken that down, and that has pride of place because of who did it. And it's my son, and that's really important. And I think there's a similar value in local songs. There's a value for people writing and singing songs of the testimony of the church. Mm-hmm. In preference to something that is clearly better or more valuable. But that to me is incredibly valuable. But if anyone wants to buy it, no, I'm joking.
that is wonderful, man. I'm just, how what advice would you give to church leaders, worship teams, worship leaders, worship pastors who want to cultivate an environment to allow this to grow? I'm thinking of the challenges that they might face. So I think it was Teddy Roosevelt that said, comparison is the greatest thief of joy.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, that there's so much stuff out there. And this is my biggest sort of challenge as a worship leader or as a songwriter, right? So if I write something, I automatically go into...
I think the most important thing is just give yourself permission to write a song that is not as good as the songs that you hear on Spotify. there's a temptation, like you say, to compete. There's nothing wrong with incorporating that. And we learn by copying and by imitating. And then gradually, I think you find your own voice in that. But it's not an immediate thing. It's an emerging thing. And like you say, it's a collaborative thing. So there might be a voice that comes from a community that is not just one person, but it's the relationships and what comes from that particular family. And I think it's really tempting as a worship leader to sing what works. And the example of Christ is, he didn't come and in strength, he emptied himself. So he didn't come as a king, as a political, a religious, or an economic leader, but he emptied himself. And there's something of worship leading that I think that if we're only ever coming to worship leading with our strengths, I don't know if that's the Jesus way of doing it. But so I think our weakness has, or our emptying has, as much to do with an offering as with our strength. That was an incredibly convoluted answer that needs a little bit of unpacking.
I love it, man. That whole power perfected in weakness springs to mind, you know. That's and especially what you were saying about your son's beautiful painting as well, reminds me of something Jason Upton said to me said to a number of us in Northern Ireland at a songwriting camp, which was, there was one, he was working on something and his son wanted to help. And he said, all right, come on, let's get involved. And, you know, his son got involved and, you know, it wasn't great. So I think he actually made it a lot worse. But it was the fact that he just wanted to spend time with his father and honour him. And Jason saw the beauty and the value in that, you know. And I look at my kids' scribbles and drawings and I'm overwhelmed that they would take so much time to create something and then come to me and say, look, Dad, look what I did, you know. Now, there's a good chance it'll never end up in the Tate Modern, right? Or even the local paper, but it is absolutely priceless to me. And I think, like you were saying, you've got to give yourself permission to fail. And but you're never going to get there if you don't do, you know. And I think just getting to a place where you can just be yourself and create something through the sheer willingness to actually honour our father might be a good place to start. I mean, I've often found that to be a good place if I'm struggling to get anything down on paper. I'm just saying, I'm going to write this for my dad. He might not like it, but I'm going to do it because I love him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's brilliant, Steph.
Yeah. Well, it's only stuff that I've learned from other people, but it's the heart of the father is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. You said something in a conversation we had not so long ago about songs being Jesus shaped, which really is a powerful anchor for me. You know, I that really helped me because there's so many things that you can use for inspiration to write. And can you maybe explain for our listeners what a Jesus-shaped song means, or what you might have meant by that statement?
I was just thinking around some of the songs that we sing in churches and thinking, this could be sung to a different God. This could be sung to Zeus or someone like that. And so I felt really strongly about this, that how do we write songs that can only be sung to the God that Jesus revealed? So Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And he laid out and embodied and in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, the blessed are the poor, those scriptures there. And in the parables and in Luke 4, he reads out Isaiah 61 about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim freedom. That scripture there, he laid out what it looks like. And I feel like it's really important to write songs that worship the God that Jesus revealed. I think it's almost as I haven't got much beyond that. but rather than being consumed with just what one song that is written is Our God is the Most Powerful. It's not even monotheistic in some ways. It's like the ancient Hebrews who believed that God, that Yahweh, was the preeminent God amongst many gods. I feel like we have to move beyond that because Jesus moved beyond that. And he brought clarity to God. And he was at a singular point in history. We see revelation of what God is really like. There's a guy called Brad Jerzak that wrote a children's book called What Is God Like? What Is God Like? And the sort of tag is always, well, Jesus showed us. And I love that. For me, it's as simple as that, that Jesus showed us what God has always been like.
That's wonderful, man. Wonderful. I love anchors in terms of, because my brain can go off on 50,000 tangents and I forget where I am. I do it mid-conversation. I do it
Tell me about it, mate.
I do it mid-task. If I'm in the middle of something and I get a distraction, I'm off doing something, you know. So to have an anchor like that, it's so simple, but just incredibly powerful. So Jesus being the anchor, which I'm pretty sure is a song, Jesus be the center. And is such a powerful anchor to come back to, you know what I mean? You know, so how is Jesus revealed in this song? You know what I mean? How is the God that Jesus revealed expressed in this song? It's absolutely wonderful, man, you know, and you know, you can tie in anything that you want to express into that. And I think that's just wonderful. And the community is going to really, really be blessed by that. So thank you so much. So I'm just going to tie this up with one last question, man. So like during lockdown, we worked on my Oh Perfect Father EP, which you were just a rock for me. Coming through last year, because it was all kind of done remotely and you know, all that kind of stuff. You also mixed it and mastered it. And what was your experience of the EP on a personal level? Before you answer that, I'll just say, you know, when I approached writing the songs for this EP, it was to serve the needs of my community. And as we spoke about earlier, you know, I find writing for other people a paradoxical thing, because after speaking to my youth pastor and the challenges that he finds in the community, I realised that those were the challenges that I faced growing up and still do, you know. So I was writing for songs for them and for me. But I just wondered, like, what was your experience of whether it's from a mixing point or just as a man in general? I just, you know, let's chat about the EP.
Yeah, well, it was really easy when and by that I mean I love your vocals. It's really easy when you're making a cake with good ingredients. It's dead easy. And so, mate, you're playing, you're singing, and the way that you deliver your vocal, there's so much. It feels really connected. You're not just singing the notes, but you're living the lyric as you sing. So from my perspective, it was really an absolute pleasure and easy, and it felt like a great journey that we went. I felt like your production as well was absolutely brilliant. There were a few moments where it really just lifted it. So I'm thinking of the pedal steel stuff that you brought in. That was brilliant. Just that really just opens up the song, and it went from okay, this is good to this is great on the sort of sonic level. So from my perspective, it was dead easy, because you just gave me a whole load of great stuff to work with.
Oh man, thank you. There was a little bit of new territory for me, so I, you know, singing gently for the first time, like a lot of my albums, some of it's gentle, but you know, it's quite dynamic, but you really encouraged me to explore this sort of gentleness and this sort of intimacy kind of vibe and this closeness kind of vibe, which did so much for me as a person, just singing these songs, because I learned so much for it. So I was stepping into new territory, which was quite uncomfortable, but that's where you grow, you know, outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
But the feedback I've had from friends, from people I've never met, from people on an international level, you know, that these songs have connected with them in a way which has helped either get into a place of worship or they resonate with some of the things that I was writing about, even stuff that they haven't experienced. So the song When I Found Jesus, which is my testimony, they can, you know, the revelation that, you know, that Christ is with them no matter what they're going through, and even when they don't even know it, you know what I mean? It's been so encouraging for me. I just wanted to say a massive thank you for being on that journey with me, and a massive thank you to Integrity for helping me bring all that together, because it's just been utterly wonderful, man. And if I don't express that enough, I'm trying to now.
But you're beautiful, Steph. And I totally agree with you on that song song thing, and it maybe ties up the earlier conversation that we had, that when you're at your personal experience, when I found Jesus, there's something that you articulate that is really true about you, and that the more true that you're and more authentic to your story, there's something that connects in other people that have not lived that experience, but the truth in you and the truth in them and the truth in me connects. And so from that song, I get a sense of, well, everybody's longing for a home, and you use your experience to help articulate a longing deep within other people, for that longing for to belong and to come home. So thank you.
Oh, bless you, man. Everyone's longing for a home. That's deep in so many ways, man. I'm going to spend some time thinking about that. But thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate you giving up your time and coming in. I mean, I just love hanging out with you. I think you're a wonderful man.
And mate, I love you too. And let's do this. Let's get together in person in the next
10 years.
3 months, if we're allowed.
Yeah, that would be great, man. We might even be singing by then in church, which will be really cool.
Yeah, come on. Bring it on. Thanks,
right.
Steph.
All right, God bless, brother, and have a great day.
And you, pal.
That was amazing. I am so grateful for any opportunity to hang out with Steve and have a good, good blether. Be sure to check out integritymusic.com for all the latest news and releases from artists within the Integrity Music family. You can also follow Integrity on various social media platforms, and make sure you check out the incredible playlists they've put together on Spotify and Apple Music. You will not be disappointed. If you'd like to listen to my new EP, O Perfect Father, which includes When I Found Jesus, and incidentally was mixed and mastered by Steve, you can also find that on Spotify and Apple Music, etc. Just search Steph McLeod and be sure to follow my profile for any updates and new music releases. As always, thank you so much for tuning in today. It's been amazing. This is Steph McLeod signing off. Until next time, God bless.